second chapter of Jonah, on the right side, you'll see a column marked Old Testament references. When we think about Jonah, there are a lot of items that come to mind. We know that he was a prophet of God. He had some problems with obedience and bad attitude. He was from the nation of Israel, but the Bible tells us that he did some preaching on foreign soil. Two, he was the fellow who helped go and, at least for a time, preserve Israel's worst enemies. He was the guy who was swallowed by a big fish. A lot of basic facts are known about the prophet, but this morning we want to think about Jonah from another aspect. I hope to leave with you some information which will let you look at Jonah in a new light. The point that I want to make is that Jonah was a man who was familiar with the Old Testament scriptures. He may not have always acted in accordance with God's word, but he knew the truth. We can say that with confidence because of the prayer that's found in Jonah 2. All but two of the verses in this chapter describe what Jonah said as far as a prayer from the belly of the great fish. As we look at this prayer, you may or may not know this, but it's almost identical to other verses that are found in the Old Testament. For example, his prayer begins with a reference in Sheol. Sheol would be the equivalent to what the New Testament calls Hades. Sheol, or Hades, either word, describes the place or the realm of the dead. Jonah, because he used that word, indicated that he was going to die. That was in his mindset. We'll see how that corresponds with some other Old Testament passages, but let's start with Jonah 2, verse 2, if you have your Bible open to the second chapter of this book. And he said, here's the prophet's prayer. I called by reason of mine affliction unto Jehovah, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Well, the prophet said that he was in a state of affliction. The text, again, if you have the bulletin from today, is very similar to what we have in Psalm 18, verses 4, 5, and 6. In Psalm 18, the writer, just like Jonah, said he was in a state of distress. He called upon the name of Jehovah. In verse 6, he said, I cried unto my God. The distress he was in is described as cords of death that compassed him, verse 5. In verse 4, he said, just like Jonah, he was afraid. In fact, we'll go ahead and read the verses. And again, if you want to kind of look at Jonah 2:2, as this is being done, I think you'll see the correlations. The cords of death compassed me, and the flood of ungodliness made me afraid. The cords of Sheol were round about me. The snares of death came upon me. In my distress, I called upon Jehovah and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry before him came into his ears. Now, it's true that the circumstances of the psalmist and Jonah were not the same. They were quite different. But even though the circumstances were a lot different, the words in Psalm 18, verses 4 through 6, were well suited for Jonah's time while he was in the great fish. As we look at the second chapter of Jonah, we find his experience described in verse 3 as he prays. Here's how he describes it to God. For thou didst cast me into the depth, in the heart of the seas. And the flood was round about me, and thy waves and thy billows passed over me. In Psalm 42, verse 7, it appears this is the reference that Jonah drew from. There the psalmist said, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Psalm 42, 7, again, is different as far as the context. The writer was not talking about literal water. Jonah was. But it was certainly well suited for Jonah's experience, and it appears that he drew from this passage in the Old Testament. Both men knew that they were in deep water, one literally, one figuratively, and both use this imagery. If you're looking at the chart, you'll notice that the next reference is Psalm 31, verse 22. Before that's read, though, we'll take a look at what's said in Jonah 2, verse 4. And I said, again, this is part of the prayer, I am cast out from before thine eyes, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Psalm 31, verse 32 was written about 150 years before Jonah was born. And about 150 years before Jonah came into the world, there was another man who felt this exact way. Back in the psalm, he said, I am cut off before thine eyes. Almost an exact statement. There was desperation in the lives of both men. But as you look at Jonah, the passage that we just read, as well as the psalm that was cited, you also find that there was hope. A funny mixture sometimes, how a person can be so despondent on the one hand and so full of hope on the other, and yet with both individuals, you find that such was the case. The psalmist said, I know that you heard my voice. And Jonah said, I know that I'm going to look again towards the temple of God. Jonah found comfort in the psalms and expressed Bible thoughts while in the belly of the great fish. Here's another one, verse 5. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The deep was round about me. The weeds were wrapped about my head. He was surrounded by water, and he had seaweed or algae wrapped around his head. I used to do a lot of fishing, And as I was thinking about this passage, I remember back to some times where I was watching someone, had it happen to me a couple times too, but I remember watching some people, they'd snagged a hook. And they would tug on that rod and try to pull that hook, and sometimes that hook dislodged. And with the hook, there may have been a lot of seaweed and algae, and they had algae, you know, pop onto the body, or green stuff, muck stuff, slap onto the head. It's not a fun thing, if you've ever been smacked with that. Well, Jonah, he was not able to get away from that. His body was, you know, covered in that muck and mire. And that's what the psalmist pointed to in Psalm 69, verse 2. He said, I sink deep in mire. That is, he was familiar with that same kind of experience. He said, there's no standing, there's no good footing. So again and again, as you look at the prophet's prayer in Jonah 2, you find that he drew repeatedly from Old Testament passages. Just like the writer in Psalm 69, he said, I'm encircled by water and surrounded by muck. In Jonah 2:6, the thought turns to something else. Jonah went down to the bottom of the mountains. He spoke of the earth having bars that closed upon him forever. He said, things are so bad, it's like I'm in a pit. Well, again, this imagery is not stuff that he just made up on his own. It was imagery that is found in the Bible, written prior to his coming into the world. In Psalm 16, verse 10, the Bible refers to someone not having their soul left in Sheol, that is, the realm of the dead. Peter quoted the same passage on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Jesus had to go to Hades. And perhaps as Jonah was thinking about his downward trip, those kinds of verses came to mind. Now, Jonah may not have known exactly what those passages pointed to. Ultimately, it pointed to Christ in Acts chapter 2, but he certainly found them useful and chose to use them when he was in the belly of the great fish. In Jonah 2:7, we find him saying that his soul fainted. Again, a way of expressing his state of being despondent. In Psalm 119, verse 81, the same thing is said. Almost identical. The writer said, though, as far as in addition to the point in Psalm 119, I hope in thy word. And that's really what we find in Jonah 2 as well. Great desperation, great affliction, but he also believed that he would come out okay. Verse 8 is a little more general as far as finding an explicit passage, but certainly there are references which convey those same kinds of thoughts and they're given. The prayer ends with verse 9, and there we find Jonah saying he had some responsibilities. The same responsibilities that are described in the book of Psalms, Psalm 50, verse 14. Like the psalmist, he said, I know what needs to be done, and I will do it. Well, as we look at Jonah's prayer, and as we see how it is so well related to verses from the Old Testament, the question that should be asked is, why? How was he able to do that? When he was able to pray, why all these Old Testament citations and almost quotations? Well, the answer is found in the fact that he knew the Word of God. Whatever else we can say about Jonah, we know that he was a fellow who knew the Scriptures. And that's evident because what he said, as I noted from the Old Testament Psalms, they correspond with each other. If we're a Christian, this should be our goal. Each day, as we try to live for God and with God, we need to do our best to know the Bible. 50 years ago, and there are a lot of people in here who were not alive back then, but 50 years ago, the churches of Christ were known as people who knew the book. We were known as people who knew God's word front and back. If someone wanted a Bible question answered, they knew who to go to, and that was, you find a member of the Church of Christ, and he or she will be able to answer your Bible question. It's sad to say that that is not always the case in more modern times. There are some examples of people, members of the church, and certainly outside the church, who have a level of Bible knowledge. It's been reduced to the point where many know very little. Oh, they may know some stories here and there. Maybe they know some key New Testament teachings, but as far as knowing the book front and back, a lot of times that's not the case. And that's sad when we consider all the tools that are available. Do you know that there are more than 200 versions of the English Bible available? 200 plus translations of the Bible in the English language. We have tracts. We have books, CDs, DVDs, VHS, and cassette tapes. We have TV programs. We have radio programs. We have information in the newspaper. There are courses by the mail, information on the internet, and study books of all kinds. We are surrounded with the best possible tools with all the right stuff. But still we find that at least in some places, Bible knowledge is not on a rapid rise. Sometimes even the most fundamental points related to the Scriptures are lost when it comes to Christians and non-Christians. But Jonah, he was a man who had the Word of God in his heart. He knew God's book. His prayer shows that. And if we're a Christian, this needs to be one of our goals. We must want to know God's Word. Growing up, I remember that I wanted to be proficient. at about five things. And I knew that to be proficient, since I did not have, sometimes people are just a natural at something and they go on to be a professional athlete or a professional basketball player or something else. But generally, if people want to become proficient at something, they practice. It's a matter that they need to devote some time, attention, and energy to, and once they do that, they begin to develop some skills. And this is also possible for us when we think about God's Word. To help us become better acquainted with the Bible, to ensure that we are people of the book, that God's Word is in our heart, this morning I want to suggest four steps to you. The first one is, and this sounds almost too silly to list, but read it. Read it often and read it at length. Read it until when you come to a passage, we'll just start for the New Testament, for example, you say, I have read that so many times, I know what's in there, and I can just about cite it by heart. A long time ago, about 20 years ago, I used to engage in a little exercise with Teresa. I think she remembers. We've not done it in quite a while. But we would sit up some nights, and I would ask her to pick a passage out of the New Testament. Just read a verse. And after she read a single verse, it was my job to figure out which book it was in, what chapter it was in, and what the verse was. And if I couldn't do that, then we try to do a little follow-up. Well, maybe I can at least get the chapter, or maybe I can at least get the book, or maybe narrow it down to two or three books. And if we couldn't do it that way, then she read a little bit more. But that was a goal, to learn the Word of God. And there are some creative ways to learn the Bible, and that's one. There are certainly others. Reading is good. That's something that we as God's people need to do, but there are some other steps that we can take. We can engage in some form of memorization. Now, I know we live in a time when we have a lot to remember. There are codes, there are passwords, there are lock combinations, there are phone numbers, there are bank accounts, a lot of things to remember. Standing in Sam's, not too long ago, in fact, it was during the campaign, and a lady was being asked for information. She said, I just can't remember all that. Got too many things to write down. Well, sometimes we do need to write things down, and we need to perhaps use memory tools at times, but there are some ways that we can remember Scripture, whether we have a Bible bookmark that we have some things written on, and we kind of use that as a help aid so that we can memorize that way, or we memorize a page number, we look for a certain marking. There are a lot of different tools and techniques, and we as God's people need to have in our heads, or at least readily available, all the information that relates to salvation, the church, and New Testament Christianity. We can, as God's people, commit to memory the basic facts of the faith. And that's something that needs to be done. This was what Jonah was able to do. The Word of God was in his heart. And because of that, when he prayed this prayer in the second chapter, all of these Old Testament references come out. He was able to recall, when trying circumstances came, everything that he had learned. Well, knowing the Bible has never hurt anyone. It's almost always helped those who knew it. And when we think about the fourth element and the suggestions that are being given, that is obedience. A knowledge of God's Word is so important. That was useful in bringing Jonah back to the right course. Those who read it, those who memorize it, those who meditate it on, and if I didn't mention meditation, that was point number three. Jonah was able to do that, thinking about those passages and praying those passages when he was in the belly of the whale. When we read, when we memorize, when we meditate, then we are in the best position to be obedient. And these are the four keys to successful Christian living. Read it and know it. We want to meditate on it. We want to memorize it. And then we want to do what God's Word says. There are a lot of people in life who are willing to take the first three steps. They're willing to read it. I meet people at different times who say, yes, we read the Bible. We like it. And there's some people, a lot of people, who've memorized parts of it. John 3:16, there's still a lot of folks who are perhaps not very religious, but they know that passage is in there, and they can quote it. If not fully, they can get the gist of it. And there are people who meditate on God's Word. They think about the Scriptures, but they never come to that final line. They get so close to the door of obedience, but they never cross the threshold. And that's so sad. Three out of four sometimes is pretty good in life, but in the spiritual realm, it doesn't count. We need all four. So this morning we ask, if you have read God's Word, if you have put parts of it into your heart and life, and you've thought about it, but you've not obeyed, will you not do what you know? Somebody says, well, I'm not sure that I have put the right things into my heart as far as what the Bible says. Well, in John 8, verse 24, Jesus said, except you believe that I'm he, you're going to die in your sins. That's something that we need to know and meditate upon. Belief in Christ is essential. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith we cannot please God. So that needs to be a part of our belief process. Jesus promised in Luke 13:3 that unless we are willing to repent, unless we're willing to live according to biblical teaching, we're going to perish. And then once a person is willing to confess, once a person is willing to acknowledge Christ as Lord, there needs to be a joining to Jesus. And the Bible says in Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Baptism is that last step. Acts 2:38 says it allows our sins to be washed away or remitted. And then we continue to learn, we continue to meditate, we continue to apply God's word on a daily basis. This morning we simply ask, have you become a Christian in the way that the Bible describes? If not, we'd like to help you do that. If you need some encouragement, we'd like to offer that to you as well. And if those are items that you'd like to talk about in a private manner, we'd be glad to discuss them after the service. If you're someone who knows that you are not right now in obedience to God's word, but you're willing to make things right, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the selected song.